Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us to gather in your house and to get back into your word. Help us now as we continue studying the book of Ezekiel to understand the message that can apply to us today. It's so awesome, no matter how long it's been written, we can still learn from it and apply it. And help us do that very thing and draw close to you through the process. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Exploring the Word series in the book of Ezekiel, picking it back up here in Ezekiel chapter 23, where it reads, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother, and they committed whoredoms in Egypt. They committed whoredoms in their youth. There were their breasts pressed, and there they bruised the teats of their virginity. And the names of them were Ahola, the elder, and Aholibah, her sister. And they were mine, and they bare sons and daughters. Thus were their names. Samaria is Ahola, and Jerusalem is Aholibah. And Ahola played the harlot when she was mine, and she doted on her lovers and on the Assyrians, her neighbors, which were clothed with blue, captains and rulers, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding upon horses. Thus she committed her whoredoms with them, with all them that were the chosen men of Assyria, and with all on whom she doted, with all their idols she defiled herself. Neither left she her whoredoms brought from Egypt." Now what he's talking about here is all of the ungodly things. Now he's speaking of being a whore or an adulteress, and this setting is not just talking about the physical understanding that we have of such a thing, but this was spiritual. To have brought these things from Egypt, he's talking about the paganism, the pagan gods, turning to them. And as well as when they were given the opportunity to go into the promised land, they were told to clear people out, to clear them out completely. But they did not. They failed to do so. United up with them, intermingled with them, and started practicing the same pagan practices as it talks here, the whores and the whoredom and the adultery is speaking of that kind of adultery. And they were told not to intermingle with them, but they did. And what they brought with them from Egypt, that's what he's addressing. And Samaria would not be just the very region of that we know of as Samaria, but this would include the northern kingdoms in this example. And where he's speaking of Jerusalem, he would be speaking of the southern kingdoms, which wound up being in the area of Jerusalem, which were made up of Judah and Benjamin. As it continues, "Neither left she her whoredoms brought from Egypt, for in her youth they lay with her," because going all the way back before the Exodus, we're speaking of their youth and what they brought with them when they came into the promised land. "And they bruised the breast of her virginity and poured their whoredom upon her. Wherefore I have delivered her into the hand of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians upon whom she doted." Now we know that the northern kingdoms were conquered by Assyria. And they were scattered about, many of them taken in captivity, but many of them were scattered about. "These discovered her nakedness. They took her sons and her daughters and slew her with the sword, and she became famous among women, for they had executed judgment upon her. And when her sister, Aholibah, saw this, she was more corrupt in her inordinate love than she." So you would think that they would have learned from the examples that they'd seen played out in the northern kingdoms, but the southern kingdoms didn't. They fell right into place, even became worse. "And in her whoredoms more than her sister in her whoredoms, she doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors, captains and rulers, clothed with most graciously. horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. Then I saw that she was defiled, that they took both one way, and that she increased her whoredoms. For when she saw men portrayed upon the wall, the images of the Chaldeans portrayed with vermilion. This verse 14 is an interesting one here, because you can, through archaeology, see what they're actually alluding to as an example, given an example. This would have been very early on considered pornography, because of some of the things that they had painted and displayed on many of the walls would have today been considered pornographic. And that's what he's referring to here. Read that again. And that she increased her whoredoms, for when she saw men portrayed upon the wall, these were naked men that was portrayed upon the wall, the images of the Chaldeans portrayed with vermilion, girded with girdles upon their loins, exceeding in dyed attire upon their heads, all of them princes to look at, after the manner of the Babylonians of Chaldea, the land of their nativity. And as soon as she saw them with her eyes, she doted upon them and sent messengers unto them into Chaldea. And the Babylonians came to her into the bed of love, and they defiled her with their whoredom, and she was polluted with them, and her mind was alienated from them. Now he's extending it from just the paganism and the spiritual side of it all the way into the physical realm as well. Because when they were told to get these people out of there, not to have any association with them, and then they started bringing them in and being with them and having kids by them, and then they really became polluted in their activities. So she discovered her whoredoms and discovered her nakedness. Then my mind was alienated from her, like as my mind was alienated from her sister. Yet she multiplied her whoredoms in calling to remembrance the days of her youth, wherein she had played the harlot in the land of Egypt. Note, because of the association with these pagan people in a more intimate way, also led to latching on to the ungodly behaviors of the paganism and worshiping the false gods. So one thing led right on into the other and linked them together. For she doted upon her paramours, whose flesh is as the flesh of asses, and whose issue is like the issue of horses. Thus thou calledest to remembrance the lewdness of thy youth in bruising thy teats by the Egyptians for the paps of thy youth. Therefore, in other words, for that reason. So he's described here vividly this abomination. And because of that abomination is what you see in verse 22. Therefore, O Aholibah, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will raise up thy lovers against thee. Now remember, Aholibah is the southern two kingdoms, which is Judah and Benjamin in the area of Jerusalem, from whom thy mind is alienated, and I will bring them against thee on every side. So the very ones that they were linking up with, becoming associated with, then in turn becomes their enemy and coming in to besiege them. The Babylonians and all the Chaldeans, Pekod and Shoah and Koah, and all the Assyrians with them, all of them desirable young men, captains and rulers, great lords and renowned, all of them riding upon horses. And they shall come against thee with chariots, wagons, and wheels, and with an assembly of people, which shall set against thee buckler and shield and helmet round about. And I will set judgment before them, and they shall judge thee according to their judgments. Note verse 24, we'll be coming back to that in reference to this judging and judgment as we continue. And I will set my jealousy against thee, and they shall deal furiously with thee. They shall take away thy nose and thine ears, and thy remnant shall fall by the sword. They shall take thy sons and thy daughters, and they and thy residue shall be devoured by the fire. Now this taking captive, as we know from the accounts that we'll find when we get further into the studies that we're doing, all the way over into Daniel and so forth. Daniel was one of those young men that was taken captive. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a whole bunch of others that were taken captive. It's talking about that here. They shall also strip thee of thy clothes and take away thy fair jewels. They take everything of value when they come in there. The two major events that we have read about when they come in and just ransack the place and take people and possessions. Thus will I make thy lewdness to cease from thee and thy whoredom brought from the land of Egypt. Notice, through this judgment, then this lewdness and this ill behavior is being purged, being cleaned out, as we've read through here several times about how it's a cleansing process, a purging. So that thou shalt not lift up thine eyes unto them, nor remember Egypt any more. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will deliver thee into the hand of them whom thou hatest, and to the hand of them from whom thy mind is alienated. And they shall deal with thee hatefully, and shall take away all thy labor, and shall leave thee naked and bare, and the nakedness of thy whoredoms shall be discovered, both thy lewdness and thy whoredoms. It's interesting how we can look back at things that have taken place so long ago, back there in Ezekiel's time, and look and see, how can we apply this today? So what is going on in the country today that we could relate to this? It's when someone turns away from God and turns to something or someone else, and worships or follows or believes in something or someone else more than God. And then that thing or someone then turns against them and strips them of their prosperity and becomes their enemy instead. And today we see this happening all around the world, and especially in this country, how people have put total faith and trust in government officials who have turned against the people and stripped them of pretty much everything and trying to continue to strip them of things. It's awesome when we say that. It sees even their labor, as we know today, because of the actions of some of the government officials, there are millions of people out of work today. Because they've put their trust and their faith in the government and the government so-called experts on this whole coronavirus deal, which has led to the stripping away of people's prosperity, their motivation, their happiness, their jobs, all of that. Because they put their faith and their trust in man and mankind and the doctors and the so-called experts instead of trusting in God. As it continues, I will do these things unto thee because thou hast gone a whoring after the heathen and because thou art polluted with their idols. Turn to man instead of to God. Turn to paganism instead of turning to God. Thus, they lost the benefits that they had when they had a relationship with God. Thou hast walked in the way of thy sister, therefore will I give her cup into thine hand. Thus saith the Lord God, thou shalt drink of thy sister's cup, deep and large. Thou shalt be laughed to scorn, and had in derision, it containeth much. Thou shalt be filled with drunkenness and sorrow. And boy, don't we see a lot of that today. He's talking about how an awesome amount of people have increased drug abuse and alcoholism and even suicide during this time we're going through. Thou shalt be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, with the cup of astonishment and desolation, with the cup of thy sister Samaria. The heartache that's being felt around the world today. It's awesome when we can look back in here. It's amazing when we can look back and see the comparisons of things that took place way, way back there and how we can relate them to what's going on today. When mankind take their eyes off of Jesus Christ, off of the one that we need to trust fully and completely, and start turning to themselves, to their own wisdom, then things go bad, very bad. And it overflows to everyone. Because, like we've read previously, the hardships that were coming upon the children of Israel were felt by the righteous as well as the unrighteous, as we see today. As it continues here about this drunkenness and sorrow, it reads, "Thou shalt even drink it and suck it out, and thou shalt break the shreds thereof and pluck off thine own breast, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast forgotten me," emphasis over and over, why is this happening? What's going on? "Forgetting the Lord, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, bear thou also thy lewdness and thy whoredoms." You got what you asked for. Coming upon you because of your own behavior. Verse 36. "The Lord said moreover unto me, Son of man, wilt thou judge Aholah and Aholibah? Yea, declare unto them their abominations." This is a key point I was talking about with judgment. Note the different use of the word judge. If you go back to verse 24, "And they shall come against thee with chariots, wagons, and wheels, and with an assembly of people, which shall set against thee buckler and shield and helmet round about, and I will set judgment before them, and they shall judge thee according to their judgments." This is condemnation. This is punishment that he's speaking of in 24 when he's talking about judging. But note the difference in the use of the word judge here and the use of the word judge in verse 36. Because in 36, it is a reasoning with the people. It is a declaration. It is a revelation of their faults, of their sins, of their abominations. Thus, as we have spoken so many times about the difference between when you judge someone, you need to judge them in a way that is proper, because it clearly tells us in the Word of God not to judge someone. But in the use of that word, when we're told not to judge someone, that is not to condemn someone or to cast judgment upon them in a way that you have caused them a hardship. When you condemn someone, when you tear them down in such a way and you have punished them, then you are in error. But if you are judging them in the way he's speaking of here, it is a revelation of the error of their ways to their benefit that you are doing. When you go to someone and you point out to someone that they have a flaw, that they are sinning, they may look at you and say, "You're judging me." No, you are merely evaluating the reality that is within their behavior. That is not judging someone in the condemnation and punishment way, which we are told not to do. We are told to do like the Son of Man here was told to do, and it is to reveal to someone the error of their ways. That's part of our responsibility as Christians, to help someone realize the error of their ways, to help them realize that they're on a pathway that's going to lead them to an eternity in the lake of fire. When you're doing that, they might think you're judging them, but you're not judging them in the way they are thinking you are judging them. So be very careful in that you always, when you are telling someone about their flaws or their mistakes, the error of their ways, that it is in a loving, kind way that you are trying to help them to get out of that, not in a way that you're condemning them and punishing them because they're doing that. That's the differences between the types of judgment. Read 36 again. "The Lord said moreover unto me, Son of man, wilt thou judge Aholah and Aholibah? Yea, declare unto them their abominations." That verse makes it so clear. In that form of judgment is what we are told to do, just like he was told to do that. That they have committed adultery. Point out, now what have they done? They've committed adultery. How have they committed adultery? Both physically and spiritually. That they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands, and with their idols have they committed adultery. and have also caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them. Abortion could be compared to this today. This is actually sacrificing their children. They did that back then. They burned their children to the pagan gods, the goddesses, to Molech and to others. And that was brought all the way from Egypt and carried on through. And have been continued to do that. And today we can definitely relate this to the over 60-some million babies that have been aborted because of a desire not to have a child at that time, or because it's the wrong gender. They don't want a man child, they want a woman child. They don't want to have a child at this time. It's not convenient for them, or they don't want to have a child at all, but they still want to go out and get pregnant continuously. I mean, just go by and have Planned Parenthood and rip the baby out and chop it up and sell its pieces, which is what's going on today. Planned Parenthood is a multi-billion dollar industry, and they are killing babies right now and on the increase, and they're taking your taxpayers' money and doing it. So that makes us associated with that. As this continues here in verse 38, it reads, "Moreover, this they have done unto me." Note, these are violations against the Lord. Whenever we do anything wrong, whenever we sin, it's not just against ourselves or someone immediately around us. "They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day." Note here, very interesting. "They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of mine house." These are those that are going out there, aborting their babies, and then they go to church, think they didn't do a thing in the world wrong. Oh, they just got rid of some unviable tissue mass. No, they murdered a child. And then they come in like they hadn't done anything wrong. And the ones that are associated with that are right in this. Those that have voted in people that are for abortion. Those that are a part of the abortion industry. Those that have endorsed it. Those that have supported it in any way are associated directly with this. And they're going to pay for it. "And furthermore, that ye have sent for men to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent, and lo, they came, for whom thou didst wash thyself, paintest thy eyes, and deckest thou thyself with ornaments, and settest upon a stately bed, and a table prepared before it, whereupon thou hast set mine incense and mine oil. And a voice of a multitude being at ease was with her, and with the men of the common sort were brought Sabians from the wilderness, which put bracelets upon their hands and beautiful crowns upon their heads. Then said I unto her that was old in adulteries, will they now commit whoredoms with her, and she with them? Yet they went in unto her as they got in unto a woman that playeth the harlot. So went they in unto Aholah and unto Aholibah, the lewd women." Like, well, what's this got to do with us today? Well, look at this. They brought in these people and became associated with them, linked up with them, and welcomed them in. Just like we see being done today. When this country welcomes in, brings in paganism, and actually lifts it up as something to be honored and respected and participated in, such as Islam, the Muslims, bringing them in, even voting them into our government. We have a congresswoman who is a Muslim, an in-your-face Muslim, and she was even in the pulpit of a Catholic church, saying her prayers in the pulpit of a Catholic church. That falls directly in this right here. To bring that ungodly person in and then to join them. Exactly what he's talking about here. And a righteous man, they shall judge them after the manner of adulteresses, and after the manner of women that shed blood, because they are adulteresses, and blood is in their hands. For thus saith the Lord God, I will bring up a company upon them, and I will give them to be removed and spoiled. And the company shall stone them with stones, and dispatch them with their swords. They shall slay their sons and their daughters, and burn up their houses with fire. Thus will I cause lewdness to cease out of the land, that all women may be taught not to do after their lewdness. And they shall recompense your lewdness upon you, and ye shall bear the sins of your idols, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus we see the results. You turn against God, when you turn to man, when you start welcoming in ungodliness and ungodly people and ungodly behavior, and think, oh, that's just wonderful, bring it all in, all these wacko people that are this coexist movement. That's what you get right there. Coexist, you're going to go to hell. Simple as that. Coexist, you're going to be punished for it. You're going to be accountable for it. We should not welcome such stuff. We should not participate in such stuff. We should not endorse such things. When we do endorse such things, and we become partakers right there with them. So be very, very careful who you associate with, who you support, and who you vote for. Because it all going to matter. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful opportunity you've given us to study your word. These words written so long ago, it's amazing how well they still apply to us today. Help us realize the importance of studying all your word to find a message that you have in there for us, and help us apply it in the right way and encourage us to share it. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you.